Next we have Thomas Fitzgerald. Thomas Fitzgerald is an ORISE Fellow in CDC's Immunization Services Division and the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. His work and research focuses on pandemic influenza preparedness, vaccine response, and adult immunization. Before CDC, Tom worked at a number of state and local health departments and earned his MPH in epidemiology at Boston University School of Public Health and his Bachelor of Science in Health Policy and Management at Providence College.
Morning, everybody. Thank you, Corey. I'd like to thank you all in the American Public Health Association for giving me the chance to talk to you this morning. Like Corey mentioned, my name is Tom Fitzgerald. I'm a fellow in CDC's Immunization Services Division, and I'll be presenting on coordination between public health and pharmacies for pandemic vaccine response planning. If you have any questions throughout the presentation, please feel free to just stop me and ask. So, I have no relationships to disclose. Here's just a quick overview of the different sections that we're going to go through today. So let's go ahead and get started with some background. In the event of a severe pandemic, a vaccination campaign where vaccination begins at or after the disease peak would yield little benefit to the U.S. population. A severe pandemic would require an early, rapid, and widespread vaccination campaign. Pharmacies and pharmacists are valuable partners for such a campaign, as they can provide increased access points for the public. 1 in 5 adults who receive a seasonal flu vaccine do so in a pharmacy, and there are over 260,000 immunizing pharmacists in the U.S. 93% of Americans live within 5 miles of a pharmacy and shop there often, on average nearly twice per week. Many pharmacies already have robust vaccine management and distribution systems in place which could be leveraged in a response. And considering all these factors, CDC modeling analyses suggest that including pharmacies in the pandemic vaccine response could cut the time needed to reach 80% vaccination coverage of adults with a single dose nearly in half. Increasing pharmacies' role in planning efforts will require increased coordination with public health programs, as logistics for a pandemic vaccine response vary greatly from those routine vaccinations. For example, pandemic vaccine providers need to enroll with their state immunization program to order and receive vaccine, which is different from how they might normally purchase vaccines, such as directly from a manufacturer. States will need to determine how to best allocate their vaccine supply to pharmacies, as well as other providers and points of dispensing in their jurisdictions. And pharmacies will need to clarify how they might utilize their existing management and distribution systems to optimize access. Issues such as caring for uninsured and underinsured patients will also need to be addressed. Formal agreements, such as Memoranda of Understanding or MOUs, are important to fully leverage pharmacy strengths, and I'll be referring to these as MOUs throughout the rest of the presentation. As little is known about the coordination between public health and pharmacies in pandemic influenza vaccine program planning, our objective was to assess coordination using data collected by CDC from state and local public health programs, mostly state. Areas of interest included identifying points of contact at pharmacies, procedures for recruiting, registering, and enrolling pharmacists as pandemic vaccine providers, and improving distribution logistics, such as planning for weekly allocation and obtaining necessary data to make those decisions. We also wanted to see what plans were for caring for uninsured patients presenting at pharmacies and the extent to which formalized agreements or MOUs were being implemented. We used data from 3 main sources. The first is the Program Annual Progress Assessment, or PAPA, which is an annual assessment of immunization programs conducted by CDC's Immunization Services Division. We used data from these assessments from 2012, 2013, and 2014. Secondly, we used responses from an ad hoc survey conducted in 2013 in response to the detection of a novel H7N9 influenza virus. And lastly, we obtained data from the 2015 Pandemic Influenza Readiness Assessment, or the PIRA, which is a CDC assessment of public health programs' pandemic planning activities. We used these data from 56 state and city immunization program awardees, and we coded some free text comments into response categories, which was done by multiple coders. Results. An important first step in engaging pharmacies is to have a point of contact with pharmacies or pharmacy organizations. On the 2014 PAPA, 20 programs reported that they have contacts for all pharmacy organizations in their jurisdiction, which you can see here in green. Another 20 in blue have contacts for more than half, but not all. 13 in yellow have contacts for less than half, and the 3 in red indicated having no pharmacy contacts. This is the first and last pie chart you'll see, I promise. The 2015 PIRA asked public health preparedness awardees who would have primary responsibility for enrolling and registering pandemic vaccine providers? State health departments, local health departments, or if it would be a joint activity between both. Nearly 75% of respondents indicated that state health department would be responsible. 3 replied that this would be a local health department's responsibility, and 10 replied that this would be a joint activity between state and local health departments. As the vast majority indicated that this would be primarily a state activity, we would expect to see a high level of coordination between state public health programs and pharmacies. We wanted to know if public health programs had a cache of healthcare professionals from which they could potentially recruit pandemic vaccine providers if necessary. On the 2013 H7N9 needs assessment, 45 of 56 respondents indicated that they had such a list, while 41 of those 45 noted that this list included pharmacists. The same assessment asked programs if they had a formal process for carrying out such recruitment, specifically for pharmacists, for which many less programs responded that they did. We were interested in how public health programs include pharmacies in their pandemic vaccine distribution plans and to what extent. We found on the 2012 PAPA that 32 or 57% of immunization programs include pharmacies early in their plans, but 15 include them late. The H7N9 needs assessment then asked if pharmacies would be, if programs would request that pandemic vaccine be shipped from CDC's centralized vaccine distributor directly to pharmacies, to which 43 of 50 responded yes. However, we see in the 2014 PAPA that only 8 have addressed in their plans whether or not pharmacies would be able to allocate and distribute to individual stores. 14 said it would depend on supply and availability, and 13 had not discussed the issue. If pharmacies are to be allocated and allowed to reallocate pandemic vaccine, immunization programs need information about these pharmacies receiving vaccine. Few programs have all this information. According to data from the 2013 needs assessment, while 90% have pharmacy addresses, some information is lacking about pharmacies that may receive pandemic vaccine, such as the number of patients served, the type of patient population served, and the pharmacy's vaccine storage and handling capacity. If states are going to have vaccines shipped to pharmacies or allow pharmacies to reallocate and distribute vaccine, obtaining these data beforehand are important to ensure vaccine security and that vaccine is getting to the most appropriate populations. Recall that pharmacies already vaccinate 1 out of 5 adults who receive a seasonal flu vaccine. Recognition of their current effort and potential additional effort which might be needed during a pandemic means we might expect to see 20% or more of weekly vaccine allocation going to pharmacies. The 2015 PIRA asked programs to provide estimates of the percentages of their weekly supply of vaccine that would go to various provider types. Most programs reported a higher proportion would go to points of dispensing or pods. If you look at the bottom right corner of this table, you can see that very few programs report that 20% or more of their vaccine supply would go to pharmacies. In the bottom left, you see that most actually reported that less than 5% would go to pharmacies. Local health departments are also expected to receive a large amount of pandemic vaccine, and they might in turn reallocate, conduct their own pods, or send them to other pharmacies as well. So during the pandemic, it is unlikely that any provider will be able to charge for a vaccine itself, as it will likely be purchased by the federal government. But it is foreseeable that providers might charge an administration fee. This has not been clarified in the pharmacy setting. 15% of programs report that pharmacists would be required to provide pandemic vaccinations to all patients, regardless of their ability to pay. Other responses here also indicated that they would direct pharmacists to provide vaccines to all patients, regardless of ability to pay. Issues such as this can be addressed ahead of time by engaging pharmacists in outlining rules and formalized agreements such as MOUs. The 2013 PAPA asked awardees if they had or supported the establishment of MOUs or formalized agreements with pharmacies or pharmacy organizations in their jurisdiction. Here we see respondents categorize answer as to whether or not they had MOUs in their jurisdiction. The 19 cities and states in green were categorized as having an MOU, the 22 in red did not, and 10 in yellow were other, and 5 states in gray did not provide a response. This map shows data from the 2014 annual report, which asks similarly to 2013 if immunization programs had an MOU or supported local health departments in establishing one. 5, so 9% of awardees, replied that they had established such MOUs for all pharmacy groups in their jurisdiction, which you can see here in green. Another 5 in blue had established MOUs for more than half of pharmacy groups, while 7 in yellow had established them for less than half of pharmacy groups. 34, so 61% of awardees noted having no such agreement in place. 5 in gray either did not know or did not provide a response. In summary, we've seen that many state public health programs do, in fact, plan to include pharmacists as vaccinators during the next pandemic. However, most do not currently leverage all the strengths that pharmacies offer, such as providing 20% of seasonal flu vaccinations to adults annually. A number of gaps in coordination between public health and pharmacies in preparing for a pandemic vaccine response remain. States do not have complete points of contact for pharmacy organizations, nor do many of them have formal processes for recruiting pharmacists to provide pandemic vaccinations. There are also limited data on patient populations that pharmacies care for, as well as their vaccine storage and handling capacity. There's limited ability to utilize pharmacies' existing distribution and management systems, and issues such as caring for uninsured and underinsured patients have not yet been resolved. While MOUs and formal agreements may be useful tools for improving this kind of coordination, few programs have such agreements in place. This assessment had a number of limitations. The data come from a variety of sources, and persons completing the surveys may have differing levels of understanding and knowledge surrounding their jurisdiction's pandemic preparedness plan. There may be different staff completing different assessments from year to year or completing different sections of the same assessment. And questions on assessments vary from year to year, which makes any kind of temporal trend very difficult or impossible to assess. This analysis was also largely restricted to information gathered at the state level, but most states have numerous autonomous local and regional health departments, which maintain jurisdiction over public health preparedness and immunization activities. Additionally, data were limited to public health respondents, as we did not collect data from pharmacies or pharmacists. So, this evaluation provides a high-level overview of coordination activities between public health agencies and pharmacies for pandemic vaccine response planning. Results will inform CDC guidance for immunization preparedness programs, as well as identify areas for outreach for national-level preparedness coordination. A lack of formal agreements, such as MOUs, may leave jurisdictions vulnerable during the pandemic and unable to maximize their response efforts. MOUs may allow for the leveraging of vaccine resources and allow pharmacies to become involved earlier in vaccinations during a pandemic. A standardized approach for companies operating in multiple jurisdictions also aids in providing some consistency during the response. For next steps, CDC worked with the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, or ASTHO, as well as the Association of Immunization Managers, AIM, and partners in the pharmacy community to develop a template memoranda of understanding, or MOU. The end result was a template language for jurisdiction-based MOUs to be used between states and pharmacies to improve planning coordination. The MOU provides standardized concepts to allow consistency across states for multi-state companies, but enough flexibility to meet each jurisdiction's unique needs. It encapsulates planning elements such as enrolling providers en masse versus individually, vaccine allocation and distribution, data tracking, vaccine costs and payment, and communications. The template MOU is available as a handout for this presentation through the APHA online program. I've also brought some hard copies if anyone's interested. CDC is continuing its partnership with ASTHO and AIM, as well as pharmacy organization and others, on MOU development and implementation. We're working on piloting the MOU in two states, Arkansas and Tennessee, and possibly some others. CDC is also considering adding new objectives specific to pharmacy pandemic planning to existing and future cooperative agreements with state and local public health organizations. Before I conclude, I just want to say thank you to a number of people who provided invaluable insight and assistance on this project, and a special thanks to those working at state and local immunization and emergency preparedness programs, pharmacists, pharmacies, and pharmacy staff. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you all for your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. Otherwise, please feel free to contact me at the information listed here. Thank you. Questions? Yes.
Prescriptions, calling physicians, doing all the things they usually do, but then they also have to
Yes, it's a great question. Thank you. We're actually working on another project involving sort of surging pharmacy capacity. So expected increased volume of prescription medications, such as for antivirals, as well as demand for vaccine. And that's sort of ongoing right now. And it's definitely a great point that I'll take back. But in terms of, I'm not quite sure, we don't make like plans for the states. Like we're sort of provide technical consultation and things like that. But it's a great point that I'll definitely bring back. Thank you. Hope that sort of answers your question.
I guess my concern is that you increase demand for pharmacy.
Right. Right. And yeah, ensuring patient safety for sure. Absolutely. Any other questions? No. Yeah.
So, in general, I guess this is a state organization to reach out to pharmacists to try to get them involved in this. Is there anything the pharmacies ever reach out, or community pharmacies interested in providing these services or being a site for distribution during the pandemic?
I believe so, yes. Some pharmacies are extremely active in their public health. It makes it sort of difficult because everything happens at the state level to, for these multi-state companies. Sometimes they're not quite sure who to get in touch with. So that's sort of one component of the MOU that we're trying to improve outreach and coordination with those types of pharmacies. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.